could be maybe a business trip, could be a trip that revolves around family matters. Many of us have taken journeys like that. And we can be a little flexible with the word journey as well. So you can also think of projects, right? Maybe a journey of home improvement, maybe a journey of self-improvement, or a big task or a project you've taken on at work. We can call those things journeys as well. Do you have something in mind? Now think, for you, what is the hardest part of that journey? Is it the beginning of the journey where you've kind of got to get everything started, you've got to launch? Is it the middle part of the journey where you've got to keep going? Or is it the end of the journey where you have to wrap everything up nicely and to finish well? And it's interesting, if you take the time to look at the ways different people answer that question, you find some fascinating things. I spent a little time this week trying to research this, and these are generalities, of course, but different people answer this question in different ways. What's the hardest part of the journey? Is it the beginning, the middle, or the end? So travelers, those people with an exploring kind of mindset, I found, they often would say that the beginning of the journey is the most difficult because that's the point in the journey where you've got to consider the most things, right? You've got to make the most choices. You've got to face the most unknowns. You've got to consider the most contingencies. But once you're on your way, you kind of just take things as they come. Dieters and some other people who seek self-improvement, those sorts of folks, they would often say that the beginning is the hardest part of a journey because that's the part where you've got to do the hard work of breaking bad habits and forming new good habits, and that's a difficult thing. So that's the difficult part of the journey for them. And I'll be honest, for me, the beginning of a journey is often the most difficult part because I tend to plan and plan and plan and never really feel ready. And sometimes I just procrastinate, to be honest. And it takes me a while to feel ready, to feel prepared, and to actually get started on a journey or a project. And then at the other extreme, from the beginning of the journey, is the end of the journey, of course. Athletes and other competitive types of people often would say that the end of the journey is the hardest because the thrill wears off, the competition is gone, the adrenaline goes with it, and often in competitions, the end of the journey often kind of implies some kind of failure, right? The season's over, you miss the playoffs, you fail to win the championship, so the end of the journey can be a hard part for athletes and in competitions. Those people who take journeys of self-discovery or personal growth, those sorts of folks will often say that the end of the journey is difficult also. Because if you think, for example, about living away at college for a few years or an extended period of time on your own, you change. If you go and study abroad, you spend 6 months or a year away from family and from home, you change. And the end of the journey can be difficult for these people because the end of the journey means coming home, and you have changed during your journey, but home hasn't, and so you've got to renegotiate, renavigate all those relationships from a different perspective. So there's the beginning, the end, and then there's the middle. Many psychologists, counselors, business leaders, pastors, and others will say that the middle of a journey, the middle of a project is the hardest. Because the middle of a journey is a place of uncertainty. You've left the safety of your home behind you. You haven't yet made it to your destination. The middle of the journey is where unexpected challenges arise. Successfully navigating the middle part of a journey requires you to be flexible in your approach, but totally dedicated to your goal. And more than anything else, persevering through the long middle part of a journey requires faith, as we said, faith that you'll make it through to the end. And Peter, our hero of scripture for today, Peter had problems in the middle. We all know Peter, of course, I'm sure. He's one of the 12 apostles, one of the 12 disciples. He's within Jesus' inner circle of friends and disciples. And in fact, Peter often acts as a leader to the 12. When we look at scripture, we see Peter's name mentioned more than any other disciple. When the disciples of Jesus are listed, Peter's name always appears first in scripture. And that kind of points us to the fact that he was a leader among Jesus' disciples. Peter often speaks on behalf of the disciples as well. He's the one who gets up and speaks publicly for them. In the beginning, Peter was a fisherman from Galilee. In fact, Peter and his brother Andrew were fishing one day when Jesus called them to be his disciples. And we've all heard this. Jesus said to them, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people now instead of fishing for fish." So Peter followed Jesus throughout his earthly ministry. Peter continued to preach the gospel and even to do great miracles after Jesus had ascended into heaven. And then tradition tells us, Peter, after the period of Acts, a tradition tells us that toward the end of his life, Peter made his way to Rome and ministered there and eventually died there in the city of Rome. So Peter was quick to act and quick to speak as well. Peter had no problem starting good things. But for all the good things that he started, he often had problems in the middle. Sometimes Peter struggled with endurance, focus, or even faith. Some examples are, well, Jesus had told Peter that his mission was to go to Jerusalem. He would die there for the sins of the people, to forgive them. And yet, at the Transfiguration, that event where Jesus was on top of the mountaintop along with Peter and two other disciples, the disciples got to see Jesus transfigured. Jesus appeared in all of his glory as the Son of God instead of as a normal human being. Peter's reaction was to lose focus. Peter was the one to suggest, hey, we should set up some tents. We should stay here in this place where everything's good, instead of pursuing the mission that Jesus had told him he was on. Another time, on Maundy Thursday, Peter went with Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus was going to go and pray before he was arrested. And Jesus left his disciples nearby where he was praying, and he gave them the instruction to wait, to keep watch for him. And yet every time Jesus would go back and check on his disciples, they were all asleep, Peter included. So sometimes Peter lacked endurance in that hard time of the night. Another time, this is probably the most well-known, Peter claimed that he would always stand up for Jesus. Peter was the one to say, Lord, I will never ever fall away from you. I will follow you even to death. And yet, on the night of Jesus' arrest, while Jesus was in at the trial before the Jewish leaders, Peter disowned Jesus three times. Peter said, I don't know that man, because Peter was afraid of what the crowd might do if they found out that he followed Jesus. Sometimes Peter lacked faith to make it through the middle. Peter had problems in the middle, and there's other examples, but the one that we're focusing on today is this time when Jesus and Peter both walked on water. So here's the situation. Before they all got on the boat, Jesus had just done a great miracle. We call it the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus was on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. They had five loaves of bread and two fishes, and they fed 5,000 people with that, and more than 5,000, actually, because 5,000, we read, is the recorded number of men who were there. So with the women and children as well, Jesus fed many more than that, starting with just five loaves of bread. He fed that many people. After this great miracle, Jesus puts his disciples in the boat, and he says, you know, basically, go across the Sea of Galilee, and I'll meet you later. I'll meet you later. Jesus puts his disciples in the boat, sends them off, and then Jesus goes up by himself to a private place. He goes up a mountainside to pray alone. Meanwhile, the disciples are in the boat. They're trying to make it across the lake, and they're making poor progress because the wind is against them, the waves are rough, and by the time night falls, they are far out into the lake, far out in the middle, and they're not making good progress. So Jesus, then, sometime before dawn, while it's still dark, it's still kind of the middle of night, Jesus goes out to his disciples in the boat, and he doesn't take another boat to meet them, right? Jesus actually walks across the surface of the lake to meet them in the middle of the lake. It's a miracle. Now, the disciples aren't used to seeing people walking on top of water, just like, you sink to the bottom of your bathtub. The disciples see Jesus approaching, and they believe that they are seeing a ghost. They're terrified. But Jesus says to his disciples, take courage. It's me, Jesus. Don't be afraid. And so here we see another time where Peter is great at beginnings, but kind of lousy in the middle. Because Peter replies to Jesus right away. He says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Jesus tells Peter to come. So Peter gets out of the boat. You can imagine that first step onto water. Peter gets out of the boat. Peter walks on the water, and Peter walked toward Jesus. So far, so good, right? Peter's doing all right with the beginning of this adventure. But then Peter looks up, and there in the middle, with the safety of the boat behind him and the safety of his Lord still in front of him, there in the middle, Peter takes a moment and realizes what's happening. He's walking on top of water. Peter sees the wind and the waves. There in the middle, Peter begins to sink. Peter begins to lose faith. Peter cries out, Lord, save me. So Jesus catches Peter. He says, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Not to accuse Peter, but to say, you had faith. Why did you doubt? You didn't need to doubt this. You were walking. So they return to the boat, and this particular adventure is over. It's the beginning, the middle, and the end all together, with a big hiccup in the middle, right? In the middle, Peter almost sank. In the middle, Peter needed to be saved. And Peter's adventure on the water here is kind of a reflection of our own lives, too. Just like Peter, we're never really prepared for the middle part of all of our journeys in life. We struggle in the middle. An easy example, we said we can call this a journey earlier. An easy example is home improvement projects. We can call that a journey. Many of you know that we bought a house not too long ago, and my wife Amber and I, and we're finding out that, wow, it takes a lot of work to turn a house into a home. So we have lots of home improvement projects happening right now, and there's some important ones that we work on, and there's some that are less important, and you know, we've got a big stack of pictures and things like that that just haven't gotten hung yet because it's not as important. And let's be honest, how many of us here have a home improvement project that we have started or planned and never finished? Probably a lot of us, a lot of hands. Yeah. So we can get stuck in the middle when we lose focus, when other stuff comes up and takes our eyes off of our goal. Sometimes we're just not prepared to face the new challenges that arise in the middle of our journeys. You know, if you've ever raised children or mentored young people, talk about unexpected challenges, right? Learning and growing is not a clean or predictable process, and our kids need so much time and support from us. And if we can't or don't adapt our lives to meet the challenges that come up in their lives, then we aren't caring for them as they need us to care. We aren't being the parents and mentors that God calls us to be, and we're failing in the middle. Sometimes we simply lack the endurance to follow through with all of our journeys. And this happens, sadly, this happens a lot in marriage. You know, two people get married and they have this honeymoon period where everything is wonderful, everything is great, and then the reality of just how long till death do us part really is. And sadly, rather than stick with the commitments they made to one another, rather than to discover how great life is when you have this kind of mutual commitment and service to one another, sadly, rather than do that, many people decide to give up in the middle of that journey. They give up in the middle of their marriages. And there's a deeper implication here for our lives of faith as well. As Christians, as the church today, here's a question. Where are we at in the mission of Jesus? Are we at the beginning or the middle or the end? We're in the middle, right? We're in the middle. Jesus came to earth 2,000 years ago. He revealed God the Father to us. Jesus did great signs and miracles. He taught us how to live. Jesus died on the cross to forgive our sins and restore us to a right relationship with the Father. Jesus rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven. That was the beginning of Jesus' saving work on earth. And now, we're in the middle. The church has been in the middle for about 2,000 years, and we're still going in the middle. We serve and we share the gospel, but we're doing all that while we wait for the ending of the journey to come. We're waiting for Jesus to come back and to make all things new. We're waiting for that day when God will wipe every tear from every eye. We're waiting for that day when there will be no more death or crying or mourning or pain. To follow Jesus is to live continually in the middle. And that means that our lives of faith are always subject to all the challenges the middle presents. When we think about all that the middle of a journey demands from us, focus, perseverance, flexibility, commitment, endurance, and most of all, faith, it's no surprise that we all sometimes feel like Peter. You know, everywhere in our lives, our home, our work, our family, our relationship with the Lord, everywhere in our lives of faith, we sometimes look at where we're at and we begin to sink, just like Peter. We feel like we're sinking under the weight of all these things. But just like in Peter's story today, it's Jesus who catches us. It's Jesus who grabs hold of us. It's Jesus who lifts us up. It's Jesus who gives us new faith every day and every week through worship, through devotions, through the Lord's Supper, through prayer, all these different parts of our lives of faith. It's Jesus who gets us through all the middle times of our lives. So when we feel like giving up on our family and our friends, it's Jesus who gives us faith to make it through those times. Jesus gives us faith to trust that the time and energy that we invest in our family, our friends, and the young people around us, Jesus gives us faith to trust that that is time and energy well spent. Jesus gives us faith to trust that he is working in their lives through us. And when we feel like giving up on a spouse, Jesus gives us faith to trust that the devotion and the commitment that we show through marriage is a testimony to the grace that he has shown us. He's working through us there as well. When we feel like giving up on our society, when we feel like giving up on all the good works Jesus has called us to do, Jesus gives us faith to trust that we're making a difference in the world, that we're binding up those who hurt, that we're pursuing justice for those who can't do that, that we're helping people live how we are all made to live. Jesus gives us faith to trust that these things make a difference, that he's making a difference through us. It's Jesus who gets his church through this one big middle time as we're waiting, and sometimes it seems like we're waiting and waiting and waiting to see him come back in glory. It's Jesus who gives us faith to trust him. It's Jesus who gives us faith to endure all the trials that we experience. It's Jesus who gives us faith to keep focused on the cross. It's Jesus who gives us faith that endures. It's Jesus who gives us faith that forgives, faith that heals, and faith that makes us new creations. Jesus gives us faith because all of the endurance, the focus, the perseverance that we can muster, all that stuff doesn't make any difference for us in our lives unless we have faith in the outcome of our journeys. Faith is what we need to make it through these middle times of the journeys of our lives. Faith is what we need so that we know we'll make it, that Jesus will take us there. And if we want to be able to respond appropriately, if we want to be able to do the right thing in the middle times of our lives, if we want to endure through the long journeys, if we want to remain committed to people who are sometimes hard to love, and we'll be honest, we're all sometimes hard to love, if we want to be able to focus on what matters even when our attention is drawn a dozen different ways, then we need to learn how to make it through the middle. We need to learn how to stay committed to the end. And so here's what you can do this week that will help you learn to make the right choice in the middle part of all your journeys. It's pretty simple. This week, finish something. This week, finish something. Finish what you've started. Maybe finish one of those projects that you've put off for too long. Maybe this week, finish reading a book that you've started and then set down halfway through. This week, do that thing that you keep telling yourself you'll do someday. We've all got one of those. It really doesn't matter what you're finishing. I don't know, maybe clean the whole house this week instead of just part of it. I don't know. It doesn't really matter what you're finishing, but this week, finish something. Because what's happening when you finish something, recognize that when you finish something, you're training yourself to keep going through the middle of the journey. You're practicing these things like perseverance, endurance, and focus. And most of all, you're teaching yourself in a small way to have faith that Jesus does use your efforts to accomplish something. And Jesus using our efforts to accomplish something is what makes all of our efforts worthwhile in the first place. And know that one day all of our journeys will come to an end. Jesus will come back and will no longer strive, will no longer struggle. We'll simply live with him and with one another, and that'll be good. Until then, we'll be God's people. We'll remain faithful. We'll continue to stand. We'll continue to endure in the middle of all our journeys. Amen.